Hi, I'm Francisco Antillon, and this is Long From Short Pod, a Long From Improv podcast. On this episode, I'll interview Will Hines, who is an amazing improviser and teacher, as well as the author of the books Improv Nonsense and How to Be the Greatest Improviser on Earth. And he also co-authored Pirate Robot Ninja, an improv fable with Billy Merritt. Will also founded the world's greatest improv school, an online-based long-form platform with amazing teachers at affordable rates. We talk a little bit about the concept of being wrong, having reasons behind our silliness, and acting in improv. I hope you enjoy it.
All right, Francisco, I want to talk about the idea of being quote-unquote wrong, like right. Playing characters who are, you know, wrong, who are arguing something foolish, or they're being unreasonable, or they're being outrageous. Because, you know, so many funny scenes revolve around somebody who is either they're a little bit deluded or they're naive. You know what I mean? Like the bank manager who tells his people that they're only going to give out pennies, yeah. You know? He's distressed at all the economic hardship in his town, and he thinks that money is the root of all evil. So he's ordering everybody to give out pennies only. So, you know, something ridiculous or whatever. But that kind of stuff happens in improv.
Yeah.
And so it's just sort of like, I think like part of getting good at improv and enjoying it is really being able to just allow yourself to become somebody who is like wrong. Like, I think like that's part of the fun.
Yeah, because that's not our primal instinct as human beings. We are just about being right most of the time.
I think, yeah, right? Our pride and our ego, especially because I think in improv you're told, oh, you should play to the top of your intelligence. You know, then that's good advice in a lot of situations, but people take it too far and they won't let themselves get fooled.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think it's kind of a trick. It's kind of like some people very naturally take to it. They start doing improv and they very naturally let themselves be cast in the role of a fool. And some people accidentally resist it.
Yeah.
And they normalize themselves. They give themselves very reasonable motivations and good reasons for everything they're doing. And I don't know. What do you think about that? Am I onto something?
I think so, yeah. I've heard about this top of your intelligence, it's been criticized by many people because it tends to lead to people being really reasonable or always trying to come up as the winner of the scene, if that's such
yeah,
a
thing. Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah, you can't win it.
Yeah, so I think I heard the term top of your integrity a couple of weeks ago. That was
okay, yeah.
I can understand that as
yeah, that's
a better
way
to put it, yeah.
Yeah,
but
I think that's better.
Being fools is important. And when I read your post on Medium about finding the fool,
yeah.
I thought it was something, a great way to put it, because many people think about the crazy characters, and I believe crazy people just don't have a reason to do things. Mm-hmm. But once you have a reason behind your absurdity or the specific thing that is funny about you, you are just a fool. You are just a silly person doing things, but with a motivation behind you.
Oh, yeah. Having the reason is really important. That's the tricky part. Like, you do have to have some reason that makes sense. When you are the fool, you need to have a reason that makes sense to, like, you.
Yeah.
Like, you don't think you're a fool. You think you're doing it for a good reason. But, like, that's kind of a trick. Like, when you ask people to – not a trick. It's difficult, though. Like, you ask people to explain themselves – and if they give too good a reason, it's no good.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's like, you know, I saw a funny scene in class yesterday about a guy who's playing a character, and he's an accountant, but he's gotten really into his own sweaters. He's like wearing all these like very fancy sweaters every day, and he's like really proud of them, and he's like making fun of everybody, all of his friends' lousy clothes, and he's asking everyone to pay attention to his fancy sweater. And I thought it was really funny and silly. And then somebody in the scene's like, well, why? Why do you care so much about your sweater? And then he gave this like sad backstory of being raised in a poor family and how important money was to him and all this stuff. And I was kind of like, it's less funny now. It's less funny if you're like coming. That's like, that's no good. How about you're just a prideful jerk? How about just like pride is your reason? Just because you're a human being and we all suffer from pride sometimes. And I think the why should be like an actor's why, not like a writer's why. Don't like write a big story. Just give me an actor, just a simple acting reason.
Yeah. More of something like an instinct, like.
Yeah. Something simple. It's a little simple instinct, a little emotional reason, because you're not looking to explain yourself. We don't want you to make sense. We just want to relate to you. We just want to get a feel for what kind of person you are.
Yeah.
But I think it's kind of hard. It's kind of hard in a class when you slow it down and somebody's in a class and you put the spotlight on them and you're like, why? Why did you do that behavior? It's hard to not like just keep it simple.
Yeah, but, I know. It's interesting, this coming up with the why, like an actor, as you say, it brings me back to this concept of flashing, the Ian Roberts exercise.
Oh, yeah, you know about that, yeah.
Yeah, that's about mostly about initiations, but it could be something helpful for justification as well.
Like, for sure.
You come up like...
I love Ian's flashing exercise.
Yeah, it's amazing. I try to use it all the time because it's really fun to see how people just figure out things and they come up with things that are just so true and relatable and according to their beliefs, and they are not inventing anything. They're just coming up with stuff in the moment.
Yeah, the flash exercise, which basically says like, you know, whenever you hear anything in a scene, your brain on like a on an unconscious level flashes to certain like memories and thoughts and opinions in your life. And if you can notice them and use them in your scene, your scenes will be like specific and real and surprising. And it will not require a lot of like thinking. They just kind of flash into your brain.
Yeah.
That's the idea behind it. Yeah. I really like it. I think like saying the why is like a really tricky thing. It's like, it's kind of like when you just do it instinctually, it's not tricky. But when you ask somebody to do it consciously, it becomes tricky.
Yeah.
Because people put too much emphasis on it. It just should just be a light, simple answer. Just a little emotional reason. I think it's because we don't say why we do things in real life that often. You know, mm-hmm. Like if you go to a coffee shop and you want French vanilla coffee instead of regular coffee and somebody says, why do you want that? You're like, I don't know. I just like this better. There's no reason. Mm-hmm. But there could be a reason. I don't know. Like if I dig a little deeper, maybe you want to treat yourself. Maybe you just like sweet things because it's childlike. I don't know. Like, I don't know. Figuring out why. We don't do it in real life, so it's hard to do it in an improv scene. You know, to say why you're doing something.
Yeah, we don't usually go about our lives justifying everything we do because, yeah, that would be strange. But
well, I guess because it seems obvious to us. It's like, well, I don't have to say why I'm doing very basic. Like if you're mad at your neighbor because they are having loud parties at night, you know what I mean? And you're complaining about it, nobody would be like, well, why don't you like that? You'd be like, what do you mean, why don't I like that? Because it's noisy. It bothers me. But in an improv scene, that's all I'm looking for. I need you to actually say it. Well, it's noisy and it bothers me. It's rude. You know what it is because the things we complain about in real life, it's usually something deeper that is bothering us. And we don't say the deeper part.
Yeah.
Like your neighbor's throwing loud parties and you're mad. Yeah, the noise is bothering you for sure. But there's something else. It's like it's disrespectful or it's selfish or like they're not thinking about their impact on you. That's what's really – you feel insulted. You feel like ignored and disregarded. I think that's what's really – because, you know, people get crazy about their neighbors.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard of the Nextdoor app?
No.
There's an app – maybe it's just in America called Nextdoor. I do not have it because I think it would ruin my life. But people sign up for it, and then supposedly people in a neighborhood can use it to like communicate things to each other. Could just be like helpful things, like, oh, there's the garbage men aren't coming this week; they're coming next week, or, you know, or like, oh, the weather says there's going to be a big storm. Let's make sure to you know, power might go out or something. But what it ends up being is just everybody being like, the neighbors over here are really obnoxious and loud. Or it's like, what's going on with this person's car? Are they always going to park it there? And like, and lots of like racist stuff. Like, I saw these people wandering around the neighborhood. It's like the worst of people. The yeah. Nextdoor app. But if you asked anybody in the Nextdoor app, well, why are you complaining about this thing or that thing? They would have some reasonable reason. They would not have the real reason.
Yeah.
Which is like, I don't trust people who don't look like me. Or, you know, I want to feel like I have control over everybody around me, and I'm mad when there's evidence that I don't have control.
Yeah.
But if you're an improviser, it's really funny if you can say, I am mad because I wish to have control over everyone around me, and I don't. That'd be, like, really funny to say.
It's like this Key and Peele sketch about a bully. I don't know if you're familiar with it.
Yes, yes, I love this sketch.
Yeah, it's amazing. The bully that is explaining his actual reasons behind everything he does. Oh, it's just so good.
Yeah, he immediately is like, because I grew up in a tough home and I'm going through a lot of insecurity right now and I'm trying to make you feel small so I feel big.
Exactly. Yeah.
You're a big Ian Roberts guy, I think, because Ian Roberts was the head writer of that show.
I kind of think so, yeah. I haven't met the guy and I haven't taken any classes or workshops.
Yeah.
But I found myself agreeing with a lot of things he does.
Yeah, maybe you guys have similar approaches. I have taken classes from Ian, and they're great. He's a really nice person, and he's super logical. He likes to make improv like a series of rules. He kind of enjoys that challenge.
Yeah, and I think that's good. I believe your approach is not rules-based precisely, but it's about a practical way to do improv, I believe. Mm-hmm. It gets to making things actionable and also simple, I think. The recent posts you've made on Medium, I believe they are all about simplifying some concepts. I think finding the fool
Hopefully.
Seems something simpler and approachable, even like more concrete than finding the game per se, probably.
Could be, yeah. I like the phrase, find the fool. Thank you for reading them. Let me ask you something. Were you an actor before you did improv?
No, I was actually a lawyer first, and I was working in government for several years, and then I grew tired of politics, and I
okay.
started doing marketing, so I'm a copywriter now. And when I started doing this copywriting thing, I was in touch with several creative people, and I started doing stand-up, and then I got into improv, and then here I am.
A lot of lawyers do improv. It's weird. It's not weird. It's surprising, I guess, but I find a lot of lawyers do improv. Did you find that you've become a better actor because of doing improv? Like, I basically find that doing improv makes one a better actor.
I believe I'm on the way because I started doing short form Mexico. It's all about short form Mexico City in particular. Mm-hmm. And
it always starts with the short form.
Yeah. And it's very cliche based and very wink, wink and breaking the fourth wall. And so one has to start just getting off all those short form clothes and starting getting into your long form thing. And I'm starting to get into acting. I used to say that some stuff I didn't like about certain Latin American improv was it was too actory. So I'm biting my tongue now.
Yeah, right. Do you mean too actory, like too like serious, like too like emotive and too much like, oh, yes, I am feeling things. Like
yeah, it was closer to being dramatic, I think. That's the thing.
And it's no good if it's like self-indulgent. But you know, I meant like the good kind of acting that's like being just small and natural.
Yeah, being just committed. It's all about commitment in the end. But yeah, it's really fun. Coming back to this fool concept, a committed fool is really fun. I believe it's amazing to have. And it's just the small choices they make under their like weird logic makes them really, really funny. They don't have to be like, oh, yes, I'm a big character. I know. There's no need for that.
No, it doesn't have to be big. Committed fool. Yeah, I like that phrase. Committed fool is a good phrase. Yeah. They can be, they're so funny. Everyone do it. Everyone be stupid all the time. That's my advice. In improv scenes. I mean, I guess you can do it in real life too, but I'm only giving advice about in improv scenes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Let's just, let's keep our stupidity on stage.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, I think that's a great point to end this conversation.
Okay. All right,
it's been amazing.
Oh yeah, thanks for asking me.
Thank you very much, Will.
Thanks a lot to Will Hines for joining the podcast. I just can't recommend this enough, but if you like improv, follow his many endeavors. You can find his books online in paper and Kindle format. You can listen to his podcast, I Will Write Your Book, Screw It, We're Just Gonna Talk About Comics, Screw It, We're Just Gonna Talk About the Beatles, and Don't Get Me Started. All around amazing content, all around amazing guy. Remember that you can subscribe on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or anywhere podcasts can be found. Also, thank you for following us on Facebook, Instagram, or Reddit at LongFromShortPod, and I'm looking forward to your comments, questions, or suggestions at longfromshortpod@gmail.com. Until next episode, be safe.